This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, great to have you with us today. 855-839-1210. Jane is in Center City this morning. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning. How are you? Rich, I'm sure you know people in law enforcement. I happen to have direct family members in law enforcement. I want to say about Jen Psaki's comments about all of the money that Biden is throwing at the crime rates, the drug addiction rates, the murder rates, the illegal gun rates. Money does not solve this problem. They totally always miss the back end approach, why these people are doing what they're doing. They can diss our former president all they want. He looked at the reality of why these people were on the streets and tried to address it. And if you think that these policies that they view, and I hate to say it, but it's the Democrats, and I'm a reformed Democrat, I will tell you that they always throw money at problems and never address the root of the problem. And we have family members putting their life on the line every day, never knowing if that next call or that next stop is going to be it for them. Because it's like Joker's Wild, even in our suburbs.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Everything is about money, 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 whether it's failing schools or it's crime-ridden streets, right? Money's the answer. We'll just throw more money at it, and it's not the answer, and it's a great point you make.
And, Rich, there's no accountability for this money. She can spout off those numbers, $700 million or whatever in CARES Act money. You show us how it's getting to our local police. You show us what it's doing to keep them safe. And I am sick and tired of this whole anti-cop attitude, defund them, get them off the streets, and to hear them stand there now and say, we're giving money to communities to increase the number of officers on the streets. Nobody wants to be on the streets, Rich. They have a target on them.
Yeah, and Jane, all the money in the world is not going to change the fact that woke prosecutors are not going to prosecute these criminals.
And our officers know this when they're out there trying to keep us safe. They feel like they are between a rock and a hard place. Their job is to lock these folks up, but all they can do is bring them to the jail. They can't make them go in. It is such a huge, huge problem and so solvable to keep our husbands and our brothers and our sons coming home to us every day after they've protected us. I'm just so disgusted by what we're dealing with as a president and an administration. I want to scream.
Jane, thank you. And give my best to your family members who are in law enforcement. We appreciate their service. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Excellent call. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. 855-839-1210. And by the way, we're going to talk more a little bit later in the show about the Penn swimmer, Leah Thomas, and also, too, about the carjacking situation in Philadelphia. I have the author of two pieces we cited on the show yesterday. He'll be joining me a little bit after 8:30. There's a local professor, I hope to have him on the show tomorrow, suing his former local university over violations of the First Amendment. We'll talk more about that as well as the show progresses. But I wanted to just mention to you, you know, we've talked about January 6th and what happened on January 6th. Vis-a-vis, what was the possible connection with any undercover FBI informants? Now, as I've often said, it doesn't excuse the behavior of people, but we've heard for a long time about the president's words, the former president's words, inciting people, right? And I've always said incitement is a bunch of BS. People make decisions to act how they're going to act, and words don't incite people. But let's assume for a second that I'm wrong and words do incite people. Well, then what about the words of people who might have been on January 6th, who might have been telling people to go into the Capitol? There's been all these questions around this, been all these questions that have been asked by Republican senators to the Attorney General of the United States. They can't get answers on this. People have been taken off the FBI's most wanted list. We don't know why. And a big reason why they're questioning all this is because of what took place in Michigan, regarding the Michigan governor kidnapping case, Gretchen Whitmer. So it was September 2020 when a group of armed men divided among three cars surveyed the landscape around the vacation cottage of Governor Gretchen Whitmer, considering how to kidnap her as payback for her COVID-19 lockdown measures, which were draconian, especially back then. This is from the New York Times, by the way. Two men descended from the lead car to inspect a bridge on Route 31 in nearby Elk Rapids, assessing what was needed to blow it up and how to delay any police response to the house on nearby Birch Lane. Later, after team members returned to the rural camp where they had already conducted military-style training exercises, a man identified as Big Dan, no relation to our Big Dan, I don't think, Dan Borowski, Dom's producer. Maybe it is. I don't know if it's the same. I don't know. This guy's already in government documents. He asked the assembled group, is everybody down with what's going on? Another man responded, if you are not down with the thought of kidnapping, don't sit here. Of a dozen men on that nighttime surveillance mission, four of them, including Big Dan, were either government informants or undercover FBI agents, according to court documents. The events of that night will be a key element when on March 8th, five men charged with plotting to abduct the governor will go on trial in U.S. District Court in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And the trial is being closely watched as one of the most significant recent domestic terrorism cases. It's a test of Washington's commitment in the wake of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol to pursue far-right groups who seek to kindle a violent anti-government insurgency or even a new civil war. Again, I'm quoting from the New York Times. Now, the effort here to prosecute is sprawling. Both the prosecution and the defense are relying heavily on more than 1,000 hours of conversations and other events secretly recorded by informants or undercover agents. The defense lawyers want the case thrown out on entrapment grounds, accusing investigators of egregious overreaching by manipulating the accused men to drive the plot forward. Prosecutors will attempt to prove that the suspects were inclined toward the violence from the start. The question, of course, in this case is much like on January 6th, too, is whose idea was it? Was it the undercover FBI agent's idea or the undercover FBI informants to do the kidnapping? And did they convince these idiots to go along with it knowing that they would because they're idiots? In which case, then, is the defense, hey, I was pushed into doing it by the government because the government, it wasn't my idea. I'm an idiot. They pushed me into doing it because they know I'm an idiot, but it was still their idea. Whose idea was it is the point. And it matters, obviously, because it's one thing if the government is undercover. You know, if you're Donnie Brasco and you're sitting there with the mob and you're hearing about their plots, it's another thing if you're Donnie Brasco and you're orchestrating the plots. See, that's the question. Is the government's role in these situations to actually encourage these groups to try to do things like kidnap a governor so that they can arrest him? Or is the government's job to see if there's anything illegal going on and if there isn't, to get the hell out? But if the government's pushing people, then I would argue then the government in this case is doing the inciting. Forget the speech. Forget the words. Forget the hats. If the government's the one saying to people, go into the building, or we're going to take back the Capitol, we're going to do all the other, and then people do it, I think we have to know that. If the government's the one sitting around the room and saying, we're going to kidnap the governor, right? And the other people in the room are going, yeah, sure, I guess. Like that, to me, that's pretty relevant in a trial, doesn't it? It doesn't excuse what the other people did, but it's very relevant. Of the 14 suspects arrested in October 2020, members of the Wolverine Watchmen, they're members of this Wolverine Watchmen. Of the six facing a federal kidnapping conspiracy charge, they pleaded guilty. One is expected to testify against the rest. The other eight, who participated in some military-style training, were accused in two separate ongoing state cases on a lesser charge of providing material support for terrorism. And another challenge to the case, prosecutors have made an unusual decision not to call to the witness stand three FBI agents with high-profile roles in the investigation. One agent was fired last summer after being charged with domestic violence. Another agent, while supervising Big Dan, tried to build a private security consulting firm based in part on some of his work for the FBI. Some of the information about that agent became part of the defense arguments. This guy known as Big Dan, Confidential Human Source 2, in government papers, will be the star witness for the prosecution. And descriptions of Dan's interactions with the suspects are rife throughout the court documents, and he already testified extensively in one state case last year. He's a wounded veteran from the Iraq War, looking to practice ways to practice his military skills when the Wolverine Watchman's Facebook page popped up. Members were adherents of the so-called Boogaloo movement and seek a new societal collapse. Alarmed by their discussions about targeting law enforcement officers, Dan reported them to the local police and eventually agreed to become an FBI informant. He was paid about $54,000 over the course of roughly 6 months. He's not alone. The FBI deployed at least 12 informants as well as several undercover agents, according to defense filings. On the nighttime surveillance operation of the governor's cottage, for example, the defense described Big Dan as the main organizer. Stephen Robeson, with a long history of both past crimes and work as an FBI informant, was there too. The explosives expert who could topple the bridge was actually an undercover FBI agent, as was a man in another vehicle. The defense lawyers are using the same trove of evidence material to have built an entirely different scenario of what happened. They depict the accused as reluctant puppets entrapped by the FBI agents and informants whom they say came up with the kidnapping plot themselves. Now, there's a lot more to this, obviously, as you can imagine, but it is an incredibly important case with a lot of questions. Because if this is true, if the government was pushing these people to act, that changes things from just being there to observe potential crimes and then stop them to the government essentially now orchestrating these crimes. So there's a lot of a lot will go into this trial, as you can imagine. But this is why Republicans want to know, hey, what is happening? What happened on January 6th? Not to excuse people's conduct, but to understand what happened. Who else was involved? Who else was there that day? They need to know who else was there. And it's very important to do so. All right, 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210. All right, we got NJ Diet to help you. NJ Diet to help you lose the weight for good. In 40 days from now, we're going to be turning the clocks forward. It's going to get warmer, brighter days. You want to feel good? How about being 40 pounds lighter? 20 to 40 plus pounds lighter, contractually guaranteed money-back program. You have absolutely nothing to worry about. NJ Diet utilizes bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work that balances your hormones, where the side effect is weight loss. Then NJ Diet utilizes DNA testing to create your ideal diet plan and workout regimen so you keep it off. NJ Diet's all natural. No shots, no hormones, no prepackaged foods, and no surgery. Offices close by in Princeton, Cherry Hill, King of Prussia, and now open in Newark, Delaware. Or from home with live online video consultations. Start your new journey this new year by calling them today at 855-5-NJ-DIET, 855-5-NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com. You can do this. You can lose the weight for good with njdiet.com, njdiet.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, Dawn, what do we got cooking today on this day of monkeypox?
Stop. This is Tuesday, January 25th, Zioli Show News Live, sponsored by 360 Degrees Auto. And it's going to be a warming trend today, so I'll have the full forecast in just a moment. So there is a rewrite of Pennsylvania's congressional map headed to Governor Tom Wolf's desk following a party line state Senate vote yesterday. But with Wolf having already vowed to veto it, the move is nearly guaranteed, obviously, to put the courts in charge of figuring out the state's new district lines. Will this move back the primary in May? We don't know, but it's a Republican-backed plan, And so we continue to watch that, as Zioli has. As far as locally, State Senator Sharif Street, who's a Democrat from Philadelphia, says the map was not the result of a bipartisan process and agreed that it will most assuredly get vetoed. So that's our local angle for Philadelphia. So the deadline, one deadline was yesterday, and the court has set a January 30th deadline for Wolf and lawmakers to finish the map, which also asked the citizen petitioners, you know, Wolf Republican and Democratic lawmakers and other approved parties to submit all their own proposals. So citizens, you can still have input. But I guess we'll have hearings, public hearings this Thursday and Friday. So I just want to point all of that out. We also have in Pennsylvania's state prisons, they've halted all in-person visits through the month of February. Why? Because of COVID-19 and highly contagious Omicron. So no Valentine's Day in the So Pennsylvania.
No Valentine's Day where?
In the state, because it's through February.
I feel like they'll make their own Valentine's Day.
Stop.
Sorry.
Stop. So Pennsylvania Republicans pushing for a constitutional amendment that would let voters decide whether or not the state should get out of the liquor business. I thought I'd put this in here because you talked earlier about the special Pappy bourbon lottery that the, you know, Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board is putting out there. So Republicans want to privatize liquor sales in Pennsylvania via this constitutional amendment, which would evade a veto by Governor Tom Wolf. So they're doing
that. I love the idea. Let the people decide.
Yeah.
Let the people decide if they want to privatize the liquor control system in Pennsylvania. Good.
There's also a bill proposed that would allow self-driving cars to be tested on Pennsylvania roads without emergency drivers. So that one causing some debate and controversy. And finally, in New Jersey, starting this afternoon, New Jersey approving its first company to take bets on competitive video games. This is obviously a fast-growing activity. Esports is what we're talking about, popular with teenagers and young people around the world. So this is the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement granting the approval to Esports Entertainment Group to accept bets on esports games. And it actually, I believe this launch is like a soft launch, begins this afternoon. So it's based in London and has offices in Hoboken, New Jersey, and in Malta. It's expected to be a $207 billion industry within the next couple of years.
Wow.
Esports. Yeah. Hmm. So I wonder how will they control the age? Because this is right now it's teenage boys, right? Mm-hmm. But I got to get my credit card off of, you know.
Well, yeah, that's how they'll do it, is the credit card.
So it'll be mom's credit card.
And then, mom's credit card.
So if I win, I'll be happy. If I lose, I'll say, I knew nothing of this, right?
That's right.
The NBC 10 First Alert forecast, you're going to like today because we do warm up to about 45 degrees and it's bright sunshine. So that's a good thing. A little respite from the frigid overnight, you know, temps that we've seen, especially last weekend. Right now we're at 36 and cloudy, but the sun will come out. And then tomorrow, 30 degrees. Bright and sunny. Thursday, still bright and sunny, 34. So we're hovering around normal temperatures midweek. Then Friday, we warm up to 37, cloudy with about a 25% chance of some precipitation. And then Saturday, a deep dive down to 28 degrees. But there is a 50-50 chance for some snow moving through on Saturday. So the weekend, we go back into the chilly weather of 28, 29 degrees. But watching that precipitation Friday into Saturday. Okay, 360 Degrees Auto. Yeah, they specialize in expert collision repair, paint, and finish, waiving all deductibles. Yes, they waive deductibles. Exceptional service, high quality, no deductibles. Visit local360auto.com. That's local360auto.com, serving the entire region. This is Zioli, Show News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you. 855-839-1210. Obviously, we are still on Monkey Watch.
Yes.
So we'll stay on Monkey Watch till the show ends today, all right?
Well, the woman where the monkey spit in her eye, she's on Monkey Watch for at least a month.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be freaking out if I were her. I still can't get over that.
Yeah.
Freaking out. You remember how great it was to be at Mulligan's in Wildwood? before the Trump rally. I guess it was the winter before the end of the world.
It was, but it was a winter day, but it was pretty mild.
It was.
That day.
It was a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day.
I just saw a story on the NJ.com site about, I guess, that, you know, in New Jersey, there's a bill to allow public drinking, outdoor public drinking in certain zones, which sounds great to me. I think it's fantastic. And I'm pretty sure in the article, it's people drinking outside of Mulligan's, but I can't be certain of that. But that was such a great day, wasn't it? Oh, so fun.
It was. It was a blast.
We drank during the show. I mean, Bloody Marys. Remember that? It's fantastic. Ah, oh, what a wonderful day. What a wonderful day. Anytime you could start a show with coffee and Bloody Marys, you know it's going to be a good show. Am I right? Greg, I think we need to go back there.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I think you guys are misremembering the day. It was rainy and cold. It was rainy and freezing, actually.
Well, it was until we had a Bloody Mary.
I don't remember it being rainy and cold, honestly.
It was windy. I don't think it was rainy, though. I think
it was windy.
It was.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go back there? Because COVID? They won't let us yet?
Well, no. I mean, we can. I'm arranging live broadcasts for the end of, or for starting in the spring. So
excellent. Outstanding.
We're good.
Good. Hopefully we'll be at the Grand Hotel in Cape May. That'll be fun. Go down there. Yep. Do a lot of good stuff. Yep. All right. Excellent. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. We got a lot more to say, but coming up, we got a guest on. We're going to talk about that Penn swimmer after a woman spoke to a reporter about how angry she is that because of the transgender swimmer's success against female athletes, she feels like she's being disenfranchised. So we're going to talk about that, plus Philadelphia's carjacking crisis that's happening right now in the city. It's out of control. But look, my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, you know, I can't say enough things about them. They stand by us every day. They stand by this show. In the age of cancel culture, Judith Krupnik decided to sponsor our studio. That's right. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. And that is something, right? To not only stand by the show, to stand by the entire station of Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. That matters. It really does. That kind of loyalty matters. That's the kind of loyalty you're going to get at Cherry Hill Volvo. For example, you buy your car, Cherry Hill Volvo, or you lease it. You bring it in for its regularly scheduled included maintenance. You can receive a complimentary loaner car. Valet service available to pick you up, take you there, bring you to work, whatever you need. And it's just wonderful people who are going to take great care of you because it's a small family dealership. That also matters a lot to me. The small family dealership thing matters a lot. Because when you think about it, in this age of big conglomerates, to have a small family dealership that cares, the same people in the community, that's something that stands out. And that also is why you're never going to experience pressure there either. Now, Volvos are great cars, and they have them in stock. Electric, hybrid, new cars, previously owned cars, and, of course, the amazing lease program known as Care by Volvo, which includes insurance, prepaid scheduled maintenance, tire and wheel care, 15,000 miles annually, excessive wear coverage, and more. And after just 5 months, you have the option. You can change to a different Volvo. You can keep the Volvo you have or even cancel the lease altogether. It simplifies your life. It's really an unheard of program. So go see my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. They're right on Route 70, minutes over the bridge. You're going to love driving these cars. And I'm telling you, these 2022 models with the technology on board these cars, unbelievable. They've thought of everything to make your ride luxurious and safe. Safety, some of the safest cars on the road. Volvos at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Tuesday morning. Thanks for being here today. 855-839-1210. We've talked a lot about the situation over at Penn with the trans swimmer, Leah Thomas. And we've also talked a lot about Philadelphia's carjacking crisis. So I'm very happy to have Chris Tremolia is the commentary fellow at the Washington Examiner. And Chris reached out to me yesterday. He said, hey, I wrote the pieces you were referencing on the air. So Chris, thanks for joining me on the show today. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for the invite, and thanks for talking about my articles. Who do I send the check to?
Rich Scioli at gmail.com. All right, listen, here's the deal.
Got it.
Let's start with Penn and what's going on over there with this, the trans swimmer, Leah Thomas. You had a young woman approach you and talk to you without giving her name about how she feels about the situation. So tell us all about it.
Yeah, so everyone by now knows the whole story of Leah Thomas, formerly William Thomas, is a Penn swimmer, transgender swimmer on the team. Swam on the men's team for 3 years, and then during the COVID-19 year, they took a year off and did hormone suppressant therapy and transitioned to a female. Interestingly enough, I was actually in class with William Thomas, as he was William Thomas in fall of 2018. No idea any of this. I knew he was a swimmer. No idea any of this was coming in the future. But yeah, so then the news broke that Leah Thomas was breaking all the swimming records and dominating the sport. And then I reached out to some of the members on the female swimming team. And one of them was brave enough to comment to me and discuss and give, you know, her perspective and tell what she feels is wrong and the her gripes, so to speak, and her grievances. And that's pretty much where we are today. Leah Thomas has swam three or four meets since the main story broke. And as you could imagine, as a female swimmer, my source is really upset about the whole situation because it takes away from women's sports in general, and it takes away from the opportunities of women, you know, on the team and potentially even future women looking to compete as well. So that's pretty much what I wrote about, what I have been writing about in my articles, and they have pretty much become, you know, national news.
Now, in the article, Chris, you also mentioned that she really does not want to use her name publicly because she fears retribution. What kind of retribution? And I mean, obviously, you're a graduate of Penn, so you would know. I mean, what is she looking at if she were to speak out, if the other women on the team would speak out?
Sure. From what she told me, she's more worried, actually, about potential job prospects in the future and getting a job, and someone, you know, when she's applying for a job, you know, does a background check or whatever, does a search and comes up, and she's worried about attributing her name to any quotes that would basically be negative in the view of, you know, the whole transgendered athletes movement, I guess you could say, movement going on. So that's her main concern, is that, from what she told me, is not so much stuff on campus, although she said that could be a possibility, but her main thing was looking at it from in the future. She didn't want someone to say, when she was applying, come back and say, oh, you know, this applicant said this, and then, you know, because the being basically standing up for, you know, normal normal co-ed sports and the separation of, you know, basically women swimming on women's team, biologically born women swimming on women's team, that is somehow controversial in the United States in 2022. So she basically was worried about that as far as retribution in the future. Penn does have a, how can I put this? They pretty much have an active trans student groups on campus. So there is a possibility that if she spoke out, that would cause a lot of issues as well. However, that wasn't to be what she mainly was concerned about, from what she told me.
Chris Tremoglia is with me. He is the ISI commentary fellow at the Washington Examiner. Two great pieces we're talking about from him right now on the Penn swimmer. The young woman who spoke to you, Chris, obviously, you know, she's expressing something here, which is very sad, that she feels like women are no longer being celebrated in sports. They're also, there's this giant, you know, roadblock in front of them now to winning. And there are no advocates anymore for women's athletics. I mean, that's what really jumps out at me, is that because of this effort to be woke and to make this one swimmer feel good, we've now made all these other swimmers feel bad and feel like no one is pushing or advocating for them. And their prospects now are really going to be affected by this going forward, and I don't know where she can turn for somebody to say, hey, this is, you know, enough is enough here. I mean, the NCAA, they're not going to do anything. Penn's not going to do anything. The Olympic Committee is not going to do anything. That sense of frustration, I think, really comes across in your piece.
Yeah, absolutely. She's very frustrated, very angry. And as she's basically said, I mean, I was talking to her and I said, you know, we basically hear how over time women haven't had the same rights as men. And in collegiate sports, that's also been an issue. And it just seemed like with Title 19 and all those things that were happening to kind of like level the playing field in which, you know, men, women's sports wouldn't be ignored as much as men's sports or something, I guess, in Serena Williams' funding, that's a little bit beyond my knowledge. But basically, it was the whole thing of, you know, the opportunities being not equal on the scales as far as men and women in collegiate sports. This is now an opportunity where it's going to basically now, if we're going to be having women not being able to compete in their own sport because a man decides he wants to become a woman, that's going to further push things in the wrong direction and take away from the opportunities of women. Another thing she said, I mean, as we talk about, you know, things that happen in American society, a lot of the leftist narrative has been that women are second-class citizens. Even so, in the 21st century, women are second-class citizens. So she basically, when we were talking, I made the comment, you know, that she agreed that women now, because of things like this, are going to be third-class citizens. And the LGBTQ, IA, whatever the acronym is, and the transgender are going to basically be propped up above women in the whole hierarchy of things. And she's angry, deservedly so. I feel bad for her. I wish more people would speak out. I wish there would be as much outrage on this issue nationwide as there are on other social issues. But it seems that pretty much people are afraid to speak out about it. And that's something that really needs to change going forward.
Yeah, I would say so. No doubt about it. Chris, thanks. I'm going to post a link to that piece. Let's switch gears for a second to the carjacking crisis in Philadelphia right now. You know, it's amazing to me. We're talking about a situation right now where we've had it's we're still in the first month of the year. We've had hundreds of carjackings and attempted carjackings. I'm only laughing because it's so absurd. It sounds like I'm making it up. And you point out, you know, this really does prove the need for the Second Amendment, because we're in a situation right now where people are facing some of these life or death situations here.
Oh, absolutely. And that was one of the things that when I first started hearing about these stories, the carjack victims fighting back, I was like, well, this is the reason why we have a Second Amendment. This is the importance of it. I mean, we always hear how anytime there's a mass shooting, the evils of guns, and guns are, you know, portrayed in a negative light, and people say, oh, you know, we got to get rid of them. But those same people never emphasize the importance and, you know, significance of guns in incidents like these. I mean, who knows what would have happened if the people who have been fighting back using their guns didn't have their guns with them. It sounds like they would have obviously lost their automobile for sure, but, you know, would they have been shot themselves? Would they have lost their own lives? And that's the importance of guns that no one ever really likes to talk about among the left, liberals, Democrats, and on the mainstream media. In the article you talked about, I brought up basically the statistics from the CDC that they said there's about 30 to 40,000 gun-related deaths each year. They leftists and liberals always like to talk out the number and push out the number. They also don't talk about, and this is sort of a tangential to that most of those are suicides, by the way, by gun. But another thing, and the most important part that people don't talk about, and especially that the CDC highlighted here, is they reported between 60,000 to 2.5 million incidents in which guns save lives. And that's something that's never discussed at all in the mainstream media, by politicians, anyone like that in general.
No
one discusses that. And it's ridiculous. It's something that needs to get out there. The truth needs to get out there. And hopefully, I mean, through these unfortunate circumstances of being, you know, traumatic experiences of being victims to carjackings, hopefully this is something that could possibly, you know, change the things around and shift the narrative a bit.
Yeah, you know, you're right. They never talk about it. I mean, all you hear about is that guns are bad and bad people use them. And the only time good people use them is when they're taking their own life. You don't hear about the life saving. And, you know, there are efforts by certain conservative writers, yourself, to put those out there, the good guys with the gun stories. But for the most part, they're always ignored by the media because it breaks the narrative. And then it also makes it harder to ban something that is being used by, you know, women to protect themselves, for example, you know, going back to female empowerment. I mean, how many women can say that their lives have been saved because they had a gun when their abusive ex-husband or ex-boyfriend was around, or because they were walking home at night alone on the streets? I mean, if those stories became the narrative, then it'd be very hard to try to ban these things, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why those you know, statistics and those real life situations are often suppressed. They don't want the truth getting out. They feel that if it does, people are going to be like, well, wait a minute. Like even looking at the CDC statistics, they have between 30 to 40,000 of gun-related deaths. And at the bare minimum that they list as far as gun-saving lives is 60,000. Now, it says it goes up to 2.5 million. Obviously, that's something that's going to be hard to monitor and engage over the whole, you know, nation. But just even if you take the smallest amount, 60,000, that's almost double the amount of times, and you know, if you lose the lower value, double the amount of times guns are used in positive situations and saving lives as opposed to being in the, you know, used for criminal activity. That's double. So that's something that never gets told, never is said. And I have, obviously, if it was, the entire narrative surrounding guns in this country would change in the blink of an eye.
Chris, where can people find you and follow you and like your stuff?
Sure. Obviously, like you said, I'm a commentary fellow for the Washington Examiner. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at CW Tremo. That's at CWTREMO.
All right, Chris, we appreciate it, my friend. Keep up the great work and keep me posted on your new stuff so that I can know about it before I just go ahead and talk about it on the air.
Will do. Thank you, man. Thanks for citing all this stuff too as well.
You got it, buddy. Take care. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dr. Mike Veneria is a great, great dentist, and he's my friend, too, and he's my whole family's dentist. You know, the beauty of having a guy like Dr. Mike is that he excels at giving people the smiles of their dreams, but he handles every level of dentistry, from advanced pediatric dentistry, general dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, you name it. Dr. Mike has been voted South Jersey's top dentist for 9 consecutive years. And you're going to love going to his office too. Great music, great people. I mean, the office is state of the art too. And when it comes to something like dental implants, you want to go to the best, okay? You want to go to the best because dental implants are, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's going to change your smile forever. Make sure you go to a man who is award-winning when it comes to dental implants. Cosmetic dentistry, pain-free root canal treatment, this is where you want to go. 2 offices, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey. I was just there a couple weeks ago, got my cleaning done. We brought my kids there too. And yes, I always have to say, because she'll shoot me a text and tell me that I didn't mention it, Mama Zioli discovered Dr. Mike Veneria. So he's my parents' dentist as well. All the Ziolis go there for a reason. He's just the best and a really great guy too. So reach out to him today for your new perfect smile, VeneriaDental.com. 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 Look, there are a lot of dentists out there, but this is the best. He's the best. 9 years in a row voted South Jersey's top dentist. There's a reason for that. So again, general dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, pain-free root canal treatment, Dr. Mike Veneria, 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com.
Thanks for taking the Cioli Show with you, Rich Cioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well, you're going to have to make a choice. Neil Young or Joe Rogan. They can't have both. That's what Neil Young says. He came out and he said to Spotify, you have to choose me or Joe Rogan. I won't be on your platform anymore. So even though I'll listen to Neil Young's music, even though I disagree with him politically, not so much from Neil Young. He's turned around and told Spotify, remove my music over false vaccine info out of Joe Rogan, or remove Joe Rogan. One or the other. I will not be on your platform anymore. How about that?
What do you think Spotify?
Freaking baby. What's that?
What do you think Spotify is going to choose?
They're going to say, bye-bye, Neil.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Yep.
It's been fun.
Look, I'm a Neil Young fan.
I am too.
But to be fair, he really hasn't released anything good since the late 70s.
No, I agree. I agree. And
Rockin' in the Free World was okay. That was 91, you know, or 90, you know, in the mid-90s when he did some stuff with Pearl Jam. He was good then, but
I saw him and Eddie Vedder in concert together in D.C. once. It was fantastic.
Yes.
It was great.
Yeah.
One of the best concerts. And his work with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young was great,
of
too.
Course.
But the reality is, you know, he's not exactly relevant anymore.
And what did Spotify pay for Joe Rogan? Like $100 million or something like that?
Yeah. So for what? Neil's 5 downloads he gives them a month or
well,
something?
Well, I mean, I could, you know, look.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
There's also other ways. I mean, you know, Spotify is like, I don't think we're going to lose that many paying subscribers over Joe Rogan or over Neil Young, but we would over Joe Rogan.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, there's no doubt about that. So, so bye, Neil. It's just a shame that he would act this way because it's a big freaking cancel culture baby, is what he's being here. You know what I mean? A big giant cancel culture baby. Just come out and say you disagree with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say. You don't have to say that you can't be on the same platform with them. I mean, do you have to agree with everybody who's on your platform about everything? Because
apparently.
I'm sure there's people that disagree with him on, you know, his, I mean, he's a radical environmentalist, right?
Yes.
I mean, he released that one terrible album all about the environment once.
Yes.
I actually sent it back. It was so bad. It was just bad.
Yeah. Yeah. He's married to, was Daryl Hannah, right?
He got the mermaid from Splash.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Oof. Yeah, and I think they, you know, they live in like some eco-friendly barn or something somewhere in Colorado.
Sounds about right.
There's a whole like documentary about it on YouTube right now, about this barn that I mean, it looks lovely, but it's a very eco-friendly place where him and Crazy Horse go and went and recorded their last album.
Sounds like it was recorded in a barn. What do you live in a barn? Yes, I do.
Yep.
I guess he always has an excuse, though, to keep the door open.
But, one of Neil Young's first albums was Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. It's probably one of the best albums of all time. Like, it's a great
yeah,
album.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and After the Gold Rush, like, just great albums. But, you know, to be fair, it's that I think that album came out in 1969 or something like that. Like, it's, you know, it's a long time. So.
Down by the river, yeah, I whine like a baby. Can't handle opinions he disagrees with. Oh, poor baby. Well, you see, I will still listen to his music, even though he's a cancel culture baby. But all right, listen, we got a big 9 o'clock hour coming up, but this is the big story of the day today, brought to you by Exergen, the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer. They agree with a just released study showing the accuracy of non-contact thermometers is really in question, which is why over 100 studies confirm Exergen's accuracy. So check it out and use it. Learn more at Exergen.com. Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, changing the way the world takes temperature. In the 9 o'clock hour, I'll give you the latest on what's going on in the situation with Ukraine that's heating up. And also a question too, where is the monkey? Have they got all the monkeys, the viral monkeys that were running around Pennsylvania in Danville, PA? A woman now told to watch out for symptoms. Monkeypox, anybody? Coming right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.